Okay, so let's pick up from towards the bottom of Chaf Beis Amud Beis. We're about six lines up from the bottom. The first part of the line is Amdu in this Gemara. It says Ibay Lahu. So we're in the middle of this discussion about Raviya, revolving around Raviya, where we dealt with stira between the Mishnah and the Braisa about entrusting animals with Gaim. The Mishnah told us that you're not allowed to keep your animals by the inns of Gaim, because we're never said they're going to use it for Raviya. The Braisa said that you're allowed to buy animals from Gaim to be used as karbanos, and there's no concern that they will have used it for Raviya. We gave one suggestion from Rav to explain to resolve this stira. And what we basically said is that when it's their own animal, there's no concern that they will have used it for Raviya, because Raviya neuters the animal or debilitates the animal. And if it's a woman that the animal was with, so then there's also no concern, because she won't want people to know that she used the animal for Raviya. Okay. So now the Gemara says as follows. So we have the following chakira. Ofos mai. What's the story with birds? Is there a concern of Raviya when it comes to birds? So the Gemara says, I'll tell you, we have the following raya to address this question. The Braisa tells us, Ani re'isi ovakchavim shalakach avaz minashok. I saw a guy who bought a goose from the market. Rava'a, he had bia with it, he had revia with it. Chanka, he choked it then. Tzala, he roasted it, va'achla, and he ate it. So apparently there is concern that the guy used even birds for Raviya, and it serves a multi-purpose role here. Amr Rav Yirmiyah Medifti, Ani Re'isi, Arabi Echad, Aysa, an Erev, Shalakach Yerech Minashuk. He bought a thigh, like a polka from an animal, from the shuk, V'chakach Ba'kedei Raviya, and he chiseled out of it. He engraved, literally from a Lashon HaChakikah, engraved to chisel out, to hollow out a little bit of a hole, in order to do Raviya with the animal, with the Yerech. Rava'a, he then used it for Raviya Tzala, he roasted it, va'achla, and he ate it. Okay, either way. So that is the Chakira of Ofos. So now the Gemara goes on, and we have an alternative explanation to resolve this stira between the Mishnah and the Raisa. So, again, the Mishnah told us that you're not allowed to keep your animals by their inns, because they might use it for Raviya. The Braisa, on the other hand, said that you're allowed to buy karbanos from Gaim, because you don't have to be nervous that they used the animal for Raviya. So it says Ravina. Ravina Amar, lo kasha. There is no kasha here. There's no stira between the Mishnah and the Braisa. Ha'olach atchila ha'diyavet. This one is discussing in a situation of lechatchila. This one is discussing in a situation of bidyevet. In other words, lechatchila, from the get-go, should you entrust your animals with gayim? Absolutely not. There's concern that they will use it for raviya. But in the braisa, once the animal is being obtained from a guy, do you have to be concerned that an animal that's obtained from a guy, that he actually did something with it, that he actually used it for raviya? No. Post facto, there isn't a concern. Similar, by the way, in a similar way, when we talk about yichud, right, that you're not allowed to be alone together with a woman. So when we say that you're not allowed to be alone together with a woman, does that mean that if a person was in violation of the isra of yichud, we have to assume that they live together? So no, you don't have to assume that way. We say that you're not supposed to, because we're concerned about it, but that doesn't mean that once someone did it, that there's a concern that they actually did a ma'aseh bia. Okay, so now says the Gemara. I mean, obviously, unless you have certain things present, right? Like for any other sota, we're talking about that you need a raglaim, whatever, you need kidney, you need steer, whatever. Fine. So minatema. So how do you know? How do you know to say such a thing? The shani bein lechatchila bein ledyavid, that you should distinguish between lechatchila and bidyavid, that the level of chashash that you have for lechatchila, we say don't do this lechatchila, but bidyavid, if you did it, if it was done, there is no concern post facto. Did not. So where do you find precedent for such a thing? In the Mishnah, in Ksubis. What does the Mishnah say? Lo tesiachet isha imayim, mipnei shechashudin al ha'arayis. So the Mishnah says, don't allow a woman should not be alone together with them, because they are chashud an arayis. That was our Mishnah that we had in the opening Mishnah, Chafez Mun Aleph. But on the other hand, for Minu, here's the stira. The stira is a Mishnah in Ksubis. The Mishnah says, isha shenechvesha. If you have a woman who was held in prison by Gaim, so Aide Maman, if it's through money, in other words, if she's being held in prison because of some monetary issue that she owes some amount of money to the Goyim. So then Muteras Labala. So then when she's released from prison, she's permitted to go back to be together with her husband. Either Nefashis. But if she is being held because of some capital offense, Asura Labala. So then she's prohibited, when if she's released, she's going to be prohibited to be together with her husband. Now wait a second. Why is that? So what the Mishnah is telling us is that the question is, do we have to be choshesh that the Goyim live together with her? And if she, and in this discussion, if we're talking about an Eishes Kohen or an Eishes Yisrael, Rashi says that the Eishes that we seem to be talking about, even regular Eishes Yisrael, which would mean that we're nervous that maybe lived together and it was Baratzon, that she was on board with living together with the Goyim. Although alternatively, you could have said that we're talking about a case of onus, a case of rape, and so in that case, dafka for dealing with an Eishes Kohen, that's where there's concern, right? Because obviously a girl, when it's ba'onis, she doesn't become asur to her husband unless she's the wife of a Kohen. So now, what do you see from this Mishnah, though? The Mishnah is telling us that when she's being held because of monetary issues, she's permitted to be together with her husband because she didn't do anything together with the guy. So what do you see? Well, I don't get it. Why not? Wasn't she alone together with a guy? Elalav, Shema Amina, Shani Lam Bein Lechatchila L'Dyevet. Right, that clearly what must be going on over here is that we are distinguishing between L'chatchila L'Dyevet. So the mission in Avodah Zarah is telling you, don't be alone together. A woman should not be alone together with a Goyim because we're nervous that they're going to live together with her. But B'Dyevet, if she was alone together with a Goyim, so then is she allowed to be together with her husband afterwards? Yeah, if it's Aydei Mom and she's Muteras to Baila. So says the Gemara, wait a second, what kind of proof is that? Mimai. From what do you see that point that you're supposed to distinguish between L'chatchila and B'Dyevet? Dimala Olam, maybe really, L'Emalacha, I would tell you, Afilu D'Yevet Namilo. Really, even for B'Dyevet, also not. Meaning, it would also be a problem. Over here, it happens to be in the Mishnah Ksubas that there's another factor over here, that there's concern that the guy's going to lose out on money, right? Because the guy knows that if he lives together with this girl, she's being held right now because she owes a certain sum of money, and the only way to get her husband to pay it up on her behalf to release her from prison is if they give him the chance. But if they live together with her, there's no way he's going to be willing to pay that sum. So therefore, they're not going to be interested in doing anything together with her. And in fact, I have a raya to this, says the Marteda. I'll bring you a raya that this is the correct understanding of the Mishnah over there. The Ketani Seif is that, as we know, that if you keep reading on in the Seif, I read the next part of that sentence, what does it say? Adei nefashis asura labayla. That if she's being held in prison because of some capital offense, that is for nefashis, that she's chayiv misa for something, asura labayla. Then she's prohibited to go back to her husband. Why is she prohibited to go back to her husband? I thought you said that post facto you shouldn't be concerned that they did anything together with her. Clearly, it's only because in that Mishnah, when there's an incentive, when the guy's nervous that he's going to lose out on money, so then he's not going to do anything together with her. But when there's no concern about losing out on money, right? When it's some capital offense, so then there is concern that he did something together with her, and even post facto, she's not allowed to be together with her husband. And there's nothing else to say about this. That's the punchline. You can't ask anything about this. There's nothing to talk about. This is clearly the correct understanding of the Mishnah Ksubas. So where does it leave us then? We had a second explanation to resolve the steer between the Mishnah and the Braisa, right? We had Ravina's explanation. Ravina's telling us that the Mishnah, which tells you that you shouldn't keep your animal by the inn of a guy, that's l'chatchila, because we're nervous that they're going to use it for a via. But, b'dyevet, if a guy has an animal, do you have to be concerned that the animal that you buy from a guy was used for a via? No, post facto, you don't have to be concerned that he actually did anything with it. What's the raya to say that you distinguish like this between l'chatchila and b'dyevet, but from another stira, from another apparent stira between the Mishnah in Avodah Zarah and the Mishnah in Ksubas? The Mishnah in Avodah Zarah said, woman shouldn't be alone together with a guy because they're chashed on arayas. But then the Mishnah in Ksubas tells us that if a woman was held in prison by a guy, so if it's for monetary issues, when she's released, she's allowed to go back to her husband. She's allowed to be together with him. How could she be together with him? I thought she was, didn't she have yichud with guy? So clearly it's because it's a matzav of b'dyevet. So Gemara says, no, that's a bad raya. Because even within that Mishnah itself, the Mishnah says, distinguishes between when she's being held for monetary reasons or if she's being held for nefashis, because she committed some terrible offense that she'd be chayav misa for. So at least, you know, by secular law. So So how can we distinguish like that? How can we say that for Ali Nefasha she is a surla baila, that if she's released ultimately, then she is not allowed to go back to her husband? Isn't it post facto? So clearly it's because in that Mishnah Ksuba says only when there's a monetary incentive that the guy is nervous he's going to lose out on being paid the sum of money that he's trying to squeeze out from her husband. So that's where we say that post facto you don't have to be concerned. But not because generally you distinguish between lechatchila and b'di'eved. Okay. So now, a third explanation to resolve the stira between the Mishnah and the Braisa that we started with. Rabbi Bedas Amar Lo Kasha. Rabbi Bedas says, no, there's no problem over here between the Mishnah that says don't entrust, don't keep your animal in the inn of Gaim, and the Tosefta that says that you're allowed to buy an animal to be used as a carbon, and there's no concern that the guy used it for Raviyah. Why is there no stira? Rabbi Eliezer, a Rabban. Because there are two different opinions. One is the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer, and one is the opinion of the Rabban. Where do you see that there's a debate between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim regarding this issue? Tetnan, as we learned, there's a Mishnah in Parah. The Mishnah says, Gabi Paras Chatas. Tetnan, Gabi Paras Chatas. We learn with respect to Paras Chatas. Paras Chatas is another word for the Parah Duma. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Einani Ka'achas Mina of the Chachamim. Rabbi Eliezer says, a Parah Duma may not be acquired from a guy. It may not be bought, obtained from a guy. The Chachamim matir, but the Chachamim permit it. The question is, what's the lumdus behind their machlokas? What's the nekudas hamachlokas over here? What is the point of contention? What are they fighting about over here? So Rabbi Bedas presumes, and he says, what's the nekudas hamachlokas? My love is it not baka milki? And the following is what they are arguing about. Rabbi Eliezer, savra kashina l'revia. Rabbi Eliezer, who said that you're not allowed to buy a paraduma from a guy, that's because he says we are nervous about Raviyah. We're nervous that they use the animal, the paraduma, for Raviyah. And the assumption right now is that when you have a paraduma that was used for a Maisa Raviyah, that cannot be used as a paraduma. And that's not supposed to be. We'll talk about that, B'linad Bez Hashem, in a little bit. For Karbanos, we know that we have Pesukim that we talked about before. From the Pesukim of Vayikra, it says, Mina Behema, Mina Bakar. But then, from those Pesukim that teaches us you're not allowed to use an animal that was used for Raviyah as a carbon. And Paraduma is not quite the same thing, but we'll see. Apparently, Rabbi Eliezer feels that there's a concern for Raviyah, and if it was used for Raviyah, you're not allowed to use this animal as a Paraduma. Now, Rabban and Zavi, Lo Chashin Raviyah. But the Chacham hold that. That we are not choshish for Raviyah, and therefore the Gemara think that it is permitted to buy a paras chatas from Gai. So it says the Gemara, Mimai, wait a second. So now, so let's plug it back in though. So how does this help us for this tira? So in the Mishnah, which says that you're not allowed to entrust an animal with a Gai because there's a chashash for Raviyah, whose opinion would that be? That's the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. But when the Braisa tells us that you're allowed to buy an animal from a guy, and there's no concern that they use it for Raviyah, and you're allowed to use that animal for carbon, that's the opinion of the Chacham. So the Gemara says, Mimai, from what do you see that that's what's going on over there? How do you know that that's what the Nekudas Machlokas is in the Mishnah Parah? Mishnah Parah is very ambiguous. Mishnah just says, Lezer says you're not allowed to buy an animal from a guy, paraduma from a guy, and the Chacham say you are. It's not clear what they hold, why they hold what they hold. So, maybe according to everybody holds we are not koshish for Raviyah. There's no concern that a guy used the animal for Raviyah. If everyone agrees that you didn't use the animal for Raviyah, so then what's the explanation for Rabbi Eliezer's opinion? Why would Rabbi Eliezer say that you're not allowed to buy a paraduma from a guy? The hacha over here, hanu time under Rabbi Eliezer, what's the reasoning for Rabbi Eliezer? It's because he holds like an idea that we find Rabbi Yudam Rav telling. Rabbi Yudam Rav said, Haniach alein uda shel sakin, if he placed on the paraduma a bundle of sacks. In other words, there's no real load over here. It's just like putting a couple of bags on top of the animal. Psala. That invalidates the animal. Why? Because as we know, the pasuk tells us the paraduma is not allowed to have a yoke on it. It says asher lo ala alaho. So what we learn out from there is that when it says asher lo ala alaho, we learn out that anything could not have been put onto the animal. Even if it's not a yoke, it couldn't have carried anything ever. Now, by the way, ube egla, and when it comes to an egla rufa, there's a similar deal. It says, achadim juchpa. We know that for an egla, in order for it to become possible to be used as an egla rufa, we know that the pasuk says, asher lo mashcha ba'ol. It didn't pull with a yoke. In other words, it had to have schlepped it along. It couldn't have just had it on top of it. So what do you see, though, given Rav's yesod? So Rav says that if there was a bundle of sack, in other words, not even a real load on it, that it was just placed on top of the animal, that passels the animal. So So now, what does this have to do with Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim? Mar Savar Chashinan, one opinion holds, one Tana holds, that we are choshish, we're nervous, we're concerned that the guy put a small load like that, like a bundle of bags, of sack, on top of the animal. Mar Savar Chashinan, one opinion says, no, we are not choshish. And therefore, Rabbi Eliezer says that you're not allowed to buy a paraduma from a guy. It's not because he thinks that we're not choshish, that we're choshish for via. Avad Rabbi Eliezer holds that we're not choshish for via. Aye, so why does he say you're not allowed to buy a paraduma from a guy? That's because we're concerned that maybe they put a small load, a small package on top of the animal, and that would passel the animal to be used as a paraduma. So Gemara says, nah, lo sag tatech, don't even think such a thing. Don't suggest that the Nekudas and Machlokas in that Mishnah in Para revolves around whether we're choshish that they put a small load on top of the animal. Mishum nicha porta, because of some light comfort, some small comfort, lo mafsituva, they're not going to be willing to lose a tremendous amount. In other words, a guy knows that they can make so much money off the Jews but from selling them a paraduma. And therefore, they're going to do whatever it takes to keep this paraduma in the pristine, perfect way that it's supposed to be in order to serve as a paraduma so that they can make the profit that they want. And they're not going to be willing to risk all that money just for a little bit of comfort to ease the load so that they don't have to schlep their own little bags themselves. And therefore, you can't say that that's the Nekudas Machlokas, which means that we're back to square one, that the Nekudas Machlokas is as Rabbi Yehuda suggested, that the Nekudas Machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim about whether you're allowed to buy a paraduma from a guy revolves around the point about whether we're choshish for a via. Rabbi Eliezer says we are, and the Chachamim say we are not. So now the Gemara says, wait a second. You're telling me that when a guy is nervous about a loss, he's not going to be willing to ease himself a little bit if there's going to be tremendous loss at stake, right? In other words, he's not going to be willing to just to eat, to give himself a little bit of comfort, to lighten his load and put the load on top of the paraduma. He knows he's going to suffer a tremendous loss, and so therefore he's not going to be willing to do that. So wait a second, Hachanami. So over here also, lema mishum hana porta lo mafsituva. Why don't you say that because of a little bit of hana, he shouldn't be willing to lose out on a lot? In other words, why would a guy ever want to use the animal for a via? You're telling me that Rabbi Eliezer holds that we're choshesh that the guy used the animal for a via. Well, why would he do that? He knows that if he uses the paraduma for a via, that he's going to lose out on all this money. So why don't I say the same thing? So hasam yitzer tokfa. No. Over there, his yitzer grabs him. In other words, the taiva for a via is so much greater that he wouldn't be able to withstand that taiva. As opposed to lightening his load a little bit, that's not a taiva. That's just a little bit of comfort. For a little bit of discomfort, he'd be willing to do it. He'd be willing to deal with a little bit of discomfort in order to get a lot of money. But for a taiva, that's much harder to overcome. Okay, so Gemara says, wait a second. V'doma d'kuli ama lo chashin l'rviya. Well, still, maybe everybody holds that we're not choshish for via. Aye. What's the reason for Eliezer? Why does Rabbi Eliezer say that you're not allowed to buy a paraduma from a guy? Maybe Rabbi Eliezer holds like a yisod that we find Sheila saying. What does Sheila teach us? Tatani Sheila, my time Rabbi Eliezer, Sheila explained Rabbi Eliezer and said, the pasuk says, Dabar b'nei Yisrael v'yichu elecha. This is the pasuk, the opening pasuk by paraduma. It says, Zos chukas zetorah, asher tziva Hashem leimor, Dabar b'nei Yisrael v'yichu elecha para. That speak to b'nei Yisrael and they should take for you a paraduma. B'nei Yisrael yichu, v'ino avdechom yichu. The dafka, Jews have to be the ones who obtain the paraduma. It can't be Gaim who are the ones who are obtaining the paraduma. And so therefore, that's why the guy, because we don't want the guy part of this process for obtaining the paraduma. And maybe that's what's going on. Maybe the answer is of the opinion in this Mishnah, maybe the machlokas in that Mishnah is revolving around this point that Sheila taught us. We know that a guy can't be part of the process of obtaining a paraduma. So maybe that's what's going on in Rabbi Eliezer's opinion. He says, "Ain't in the kachas menav kachamim," because he holds up Sheila's point. So Gemara says, "No, lo sakdaitach." Don't suggest such a thing. Don't think such a thing that that's the reason for Rabbi Eliezer. Diktani, as we know, we learned, and Diktani seifa. So I'm taking out the word seifa here. Then what does it say? V'chein Rabbi Eliezer posa b'chol hakarbanos kulan. Likewise, Rabbi Eliezer invalidates all other karbanos as well. Now wait a second. If the hemshich of that comment is that likewise Rabbi Eliezer passes all karbanos as well, if you're going to tell me that the whole idea over here is Sheila's point, And that's what the reason is that when Rabbi Eliezer says you're not allowed to purchase a paradumer from a guy, and then he goes on and he says, and likewise, there's a problem. There's a Rabbi Eliezer passes all karbanos in general for from Gaim. So if you're going to tell me that the lumdus behind his psul for buying an animal, for buying a paraduma from a guy, is because of Sheila's comment, so then bishlam a para, I can understand for a para, for a paraduma, kasiba kicha. It writes by paraduma the word kicha, and therefore I know that it says the yichu elach, and therefore dafka Jews have to be part of the process of buying, of obtaining this paraduma. El kula karbanos kicha kasibu. All karbanos, does it really say the word kicha by them? It doesn't say kicha by all karbanos, and therefore the reason that Rabbi Eliezer would passel invalidate would invalidate obtaining karbanos or animals obtained as karbanos from the Goyim is not because of this kicha thing. It can't be because of that, and so therefore this lumdus doesn't work. Okay, let's put it together again. Rabbi Eliezer is trying to explain how do we resolve the steer between the Mishnah and Chabez of an Aleph and the Tosefta that we find in Avodah Zarah. The Mishnah says, don't keep your animal by the inn of a guy, because we're nervous that if you keep your animal by the inn of the guy, they're going to use it for a via. But the Braisa says that you're allowed to buy an animal from a guy, and there's no concern that they use the animal for a via. What's going on? So Rabbi Buda says, this is a machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim, because we know that Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim have a machlokas when it comes to a paraduma. Are you allowed to buy a paraduma from a guy? Rabbi Eliezer says no, and the Chachamim say yes. So why is that? What's the Nekudas Machlokas? So Rabbi Buda suggests that the Nekudas Machlokas is whether we're choshish for via. Rabbi Eliezer thinks that you're not allowed to buy an animal from a guy to serve as the paraduma because we're nervous that the guy used it for a via. And so similarly, in our Mishnah, Rabbi Buda would argue that Rabbi Eliezer would tell us that the Mishnah is the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. The Mishnah is saying don't keep your animal by the inn of a guy because we're nervous that he'll use the animal for a via. But the Chacham disagree with Rabbi Eliezer. They say that it's permitted to buy a paraduma from a guy. Why? Because they're not choshish for avia. And so similarly, in the Braisa, which says that you're allowed to buy an animal from a guy to be used as a carbon, there's no concern for avia. That's because that's the opinion of the Chacham. So the Gemara says, how do you know that that's the Nekudas HaMachlokas in the Mishnah Parah? Maybe the Nekudas HaMachlokas is built on Rav's Yisod. We know that Rav told us that if you put a small bundle of sack on top of the animal, it passes it. So maybe the concern over here is that the guy lightened his load a little bit by putting his package of sackcloths on top of the animal. And now really has just choshesh for that, the Chacham or not. So the Gemara says, no, that can't be the Nekudas HaMachlokas, because there's no way that a guy would be willing to forgo all this money that he could make off of selling the paraduma to the Jews just to ease his load a little bit. So Gemara says, so maybe you should say the same thing for Revia. He wouldn't be willing to forgo the tremendous profit he could get by selling this paraduma to the Yidden, to the Jews, and he wouldn't be willing to forgo that just to be able to live together with the animal. So Gemara says, no, live the Revia, the Ma'aser Revia with the animal, that's a taiva. That's a different story. And once he has a taiva, he won't be able to overcome it. So the Gemara says, okay, but again, maybe that's not the Nekudas HaMachlokas. Maybe the Nekudas HaMachlokas between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim has nothing to do with Revia. Maybe it has to do with Shila's Yisod. That Shila had this Yisod that we know that Rabbi Eliezer holds, that Goyim are not allowed to be part of the process of obtaining a paraduma. And so, if they're not allowed to be part of the process, maybe that's what the Machlokas is, and that mission nothing to do with Revia. Mar says, no, you can't say that that's the Nekudas Machlokas over there, because read the Hemshach of that Mishnah. The Mishnah goes on to say that Rabbi Eliezer likewise invalidates all other Karbanos, not just Paraduma, but all Karbanos obtained from Gaim. So if the Yisod is Revia, I can understand how to read the Mishnah, because Rabbi Eliezer is saying, you're not allowed to buy a Paraduma from Gaim because of an issue of Revia, I'm not allowed to buy all Karbanos from Gaim because of an issue of Revia. But if the issue is because of the Pasuk of Vigichu, and that's the Lam this in the Mishnah, so then Rabbi Eliezer wouldn't go on to say that he passes all karbanos, because you don't have the concept of the yichu by all other karbanos. And so therefore, we've defended Rabbi Bedaz's understanding of this machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim, and now we can uphold his understanding that machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim is whether we're choshish for Revi or not. And if that's the machlokas, then I can resolve this stira between the Mishnah and Avodah Zarah Daf Chav Beis Min Aleph, and this Tosefta that we cited about buying an animal to be used as a carbon when you're buying it from God. All right, so let's hold here, and Belina will pick up next time from the bottom line of Chaf Gimel.